Welcome to the Soul Mason Show!
Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life, because the Mets are really socking the ball, knocking those home runs over the wall. East side, west side, everybody's coming down to meet the M-E-T-S Mets of New York town. Oh, the butcher and the baker and the people on the streets, where do they go? And cheering and they're jumping in their seats. Where do they go? To meet the Mets! All the fans are true to the orange and blue, so hurry up and come on down, 'cause we got ourselves a ball club, the Mets of New York town. Give them a yell! Give them a hand! And let them know you're rooting in the stand. Come on and meet the Mets! Meet the Mets! Right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life, because the Mets are really stopping the ball, knocking those home runs over the wall. East side, west side, everybody's coming down to meet the M-E-T-S Mets of New
Welcome to the Phil Mason Show. That was a different song than we're used to hearing. Meet the Mets. Because today, Wednesday, June the 12th, 2013, we're going to begin talking Mets baseball for 1 hour each week. And we want to thank you all for taking the time to listen on the various networks that carry us. Max Sports Channels at 5 p.m. Eastern, Talk Superstation at 10 p.m. Eastern, and the various websites, podcatchers, iTunes, and wherever else you're listening to the show. Welcome to the Phil Mason Show. Like I said, today we're going to talk Mets baseball. So much happened in the last 4 or 5 days. It's amazing, really. And joining me to do all that from bloggingmets.com is Mr. Mark Berman. Mark, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Now, let me ask you a question about Meet the Mets. Do other teams have songs like that, or are the Mets the only team that has a song?
No, a lot of them do, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, sure.
I guess we've always grown up with Meet the Mets, so we know it, but I've never heard any other team songs.
Yeah, but who sings this song? I couldn't find out.
It's a good question.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't either, but I guess it doesn't matter. But it's Meet the Mets time, and we ought to say meet the new Mets, or say goodbye to the old Mets. First up, Rick Ankiel.
Or meet the retread Mets. Yeah, I'm sorry. Good.
That's okay. Rick Ankiel. Finito. Why did they even bother signing this guy?
Well, we were both somewhat excited about him when he first started. We were, like, I remember, I think I was in favor of the signing. I think you were also. Maybe you weren't.
No,
he started out really well and then just fell off the, couldn't get a hit.
Yeah, that's a pity, though.
Yeah.
Well, we knew that. That's why he kept getting released everywhere.
Yeah, he's just, actually, after he got caught with the HGH,
mm-hmm.
He never really did anything after that. So his whole little comeback might have just been fueled by, I don't want to say that. I mean, he was caught with HGH, so we can say that. But maybe his whole comeback was fueled by PEDs, so... Without them, he's not a good hitter.
I guess not. Or he just doesn't hit for power like he did before.
Right, right. Yeah, he was never a good average hitter, for batting average. But, yeah, he did have the power. But, where did that power come from?
Oh, who knows? But he's gone now.
Yep.
And, well, sayonara. How many games did he play? Like 15, 16?
He played 20.
Wow. Big signing there. Well done, Sandy Alderson.
He's excellent.
He's excellent. I'll tell you what. But then the big news, Ike Davis sent down. I wasn't surprised. I wish they'd have done it a long time ago. But what do you think about all that?
Yeah, I mean, in hindsight, they should have done it a month ago. But I think they just wanted to give him every opportunity to succeed and to get back on track. But he just couldn't. So, yeah, it was time to send him down. I don't think you'd be hard-pressed to make any argument that it wasn't deserved. Because he's lost. I mean, his hands are moving all over the place. He looks different every time he comes up to bat. He just really needs to go somewhere, Las Vegas as it is, and just work on his problems.
And he has numerous problems.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, man. I think we've seen the last of Ike Turner. About the same thing. Ike Turner, but Ike Turner got more hits than Ike Davis this year.
Yeah, but I want to tell you. Now, do you really think you don't think we're going to see Davis again?
No, I don't think so. I think what they're going to hope to do is see this kid get some hits and maybe get some value and trade him.
I think he'll be back in a few weeks because I think he will hit, and I think he'll be back. Is it going to translate to major league hitting? I don't know, but I think we'll see him again.
Okay, that's a good optimistic approach.
Thank you.
Terry Collins listened to us, or me, and he's moving. Oh, geez. Daniel Murphy to first base.
Yes, I know. I've heard of him.
Jordani Valdespin will now play second base, like I suggested. I like this move. What do you think?
I like the idea of giving Valdespin a chance to prove himself, and he has two hits tonight, so he's obviously rising to the challenge so far. I'm not crazy about the idea of messing around with Murphy because he's just learning second base. I think he's becoming a reasonably competent second baseman, and I hope that this doesn't retard his progress there. It shouldn't, but you just never know. But overall, the main thrust is to get Valdespin at bats and to find out once and for all if this guy can play. So I think so in that way, it's a good move.
And that's his natural position too, so that's even better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And quite frankly, I think Daniel Murphy's another one, excuse me, that we will not be seeing much more of in a Mets uniform.
Yeah, I think he could be traded. Actually, I wrote today, you know, he's willing to go to first base, but he might be playing himself out of a job because if Valdespin proves to be a good replacement, Murphy makes a lot more than him, number one. Number two, there's almost no players on the Mets who have value in a trade. Murphy does. So theoretically, if they say, hey, Valdespin can handle a job, we can trade Murphy to improve another part of the team. So, yeah, I have a feeling they're going to trade him. Unless, here's the thing, though. Murphy is a sure thing. He's going to hit 280, 290. He's a sure thing. In a team that has no sure things, why would you trade one of them?
Well, I don't know.
Unless you're going to get another sure thing that's better than him. That's the only way I would make this trade. If they could get an outfielder who, I can't even really think of one, but an outfielder who was a sure thing, who's going to hit, and who's a better hitter than Murphy, then I would make that trade in a second, especially if Valdespin proves he can play. But to trade Murphy for another question mark would be just asinine, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. You never know with the Mets front office, though, what they're thinking, because they've just done some crazy things. Now, Robert Carson also was sent down. That's not a surprise, is it?
No, he was awful. I don't know what his problem is, but he was giving up homers left and right. He was terrible. I don't think he had many good outings at all. He needed to go.
Yep, sayonara, Robert. I don't think we'll see him again.
No, I don't think so either.
Colin McHugh also was sent down.
Yeah, McHugh is just—he's not a major league pitcher. He's a quadruple A player, is what they call them. Someone who's really good in triple A, but then when he comes to the majors, he just can't cut it. Yeah, he's just a fill-in.
Yeah, that's too bad. I don't think we're going to see him much more in a Mets uniform either.
No.
Spring training, we'll see him.
Yeah, unless he is smart enough to say, hey, let me go find another job because I think the Mets are done with me.
Yeah, Mike Baxter demoted also.
That was a little bit of a surprise because, I mean, he wasn't hitting well, but he still he still was doing well as a pinch hitter. I was a little surprised by that because he's still somewhat valuable. But I think the problem was there were too many lefties out there. If they were bringing up Neuenheis, and then you had Baxter, who's another lefty, they needed to get Calgill, who's a right. They just needed another righty bat, and they decided on Calgill, who's nothing.
Exactly. Well, you know what? But they don't have anyone to replace anyone with.
That's the problem. That's why when you said meet the new Mets, it's like, you mean the Mets that started the season with the team and it was so bad they had to get demoted. Now they're back. So yeah, that they have no depth in the farm system, and that points directly to Sandy Alderson. I mean, granted, yes, he's only been there 3 years, but that's enough to make major changes, and he didn't do anything.
Nope, he certainly hasn't. But sheesh, yeah, we can go on and on. We will about him in a minute, but yeah. Josh Edgen is back. I like Josh Edgen.
I like him too. I had high hopes for him, but he just, you know, didn't do the job. He deserved his demotion. And then in the minors, he wasn't really doing that well, but they brought him up because it's like, and again, let's see if this guy is a player. So it's kind of smart. Although, you know what? So we can talk about this too. Terry Collins has been making some very strange moves lately. Tonight, for example, he brought in Edgen in the seventh inning with the bases loaded, two outs. Why would you bring a guy in who was demoted, comes back up, his first appearance with the bases loaded? That makes no sense to me at all. I mean, you want to test him in pressure situations, that's fine. But in his first appearance back, to put him in with the bases loaded? So, of course, what did he do? He walked his first batter to force in a run. I really thought it was a silly move. And Collins has done a few things lately that have just been strange. If you remember in the 20 inning marathon, which we can also talk about later, John Buck was in the ninth or 10th inning on second base, and he didn't pinch run for him. And at that point, you just got to go for the game because I guess he didn't want to be left with no catchers, but then he used Anthony Recker as a pinch hitter two batters later. So Buck was stuck into the whole game with no backup catcher. So he's just been doing strange things lately. So I don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah, well, he's got a strange team. I'm surprised he has all his marbles left.
Yeah. I mean, as we've said, nobody can win with this team. I don't expect the Mets to win, but I would expect a little bit better strategy from Collins.
You know, putting Edgen in, though, I guess it's probably, well, he doesn't have any confidence in anyone else.
Yeah, it's baptism by fire. But here's the thing, though. Edgen obviously has confidence issues because he was demoted and didn't do well in the minors. So don't you want to build this kid up and let him get out there, let him get a good inning going? And instead you put him into a situation where failure is really easy. He walked a guy and he failed. So I just think it was a bad situation to put him in.
Well, I think once you put on the Mets uniform, failure becomes easy.
Yes, that's very true.
Especially with this bunch of bums. And well, let's be honest, these guys are a bunch of bums. But David Arzma is up now. I don't know much about him. What do you think about him?
I don't know much. They were talking about him. He pitched again tonight. He pitched halfway recently. He was a closer, I guess, in Seattle at some point. And they were saying that he's starting to throw a little better. So maybe he's something. I don't know.
Well, he can't be any worse.
As I was just going to say, they cannot be any worse.
They can't be any worse. These guys are terrible. Kirk Neuenheis is back. Captain Kirk. What about Captain Kirk? I don't even.
He's another one. I really liked him last year, and he just, forgot how to hit and kept striking out. And I still have hopes for him. But again, this is, they're going to decide if Neuenheis is going to be part of the future. If he does well, he can be part of the maybe a piece of the puzzle. But if he fails again, then he's just gone. I think that's what I think is going to happen. If he just fails this year, they release him or include him in trade or something. I think the Mets are deciding who is going to be on the team next year.
I think they ought to get rid of all of them.
Yeah, which is what's going to happen because they're all not good ball players.
I mean, when you go back to a trade, you've only got three players right now of any value. You've got Daniel Murphy, Matt Harvey, and David Wright. That's it.
Just Bobby Parnell.
Okay, Bobby Parnell, but who's going to replace him?
Yeah,
he's more valuable, I think, than the other ones. But when people say the Mets need to make trades, who are they going to trade?
I know.
No one. What are you going to get for these guys? What are you going to get for a Juan Lagares?
Yeah, nothing. I mean, he looks good in the field. The only thing the Mets might do, they might trade one of their young pitchers. Because right now they have, you know, Harvey, Wheeler, Syndergaard, and Montero. Those are the four guys. And I think when you have four young studs like that, or potential studs, you can afford to trade one. Just like the Giants did when they traded Wheeler to the Mets to fill a need. I can see them trading Montero or Syndergaard. I would be stunned if they traded Wheeler. But I can see them maybe trading one of those other guys for, you know, an established outfielder.
Yeah, but who's going to take these guys?
Well, I mean, everyone wants young pitching. But you're right. You'd have to include other players, and the Mets really don't have anyone that anyone else wants. That's why they're going to have to go the free agent route, and unfortunately there's not much available outfield-wide, except for everyone going crazy over Shu, which I can't even pronounce. So I hope it doesn't get on the team because I can't pronounce his name.
You'll learn.
Yeah, but you know what? That's never going to happen because, first of all, he's a Scott Boras client, so he's going to get a ton of money. The Mets have, they say, $35 to $45 million to spend for next year. This guy is going to get, I don't think he's worth it, but he's going to get between $15 and $20 million a year, and there's no way the Mets can sign him and still afford other players. So there's no way he's going to be on the team next year. Unless they suddenly open up the bank and go, okay, you know, we're going to have $120 million payroll, which they're not. Jacoby Ellsbury is a free agent, but he's not doing well this year at all. And again, he's a Boras client too. He would get a lot of money. So yeah, I don't know. That's why next year is going to be the same as this year. I don't see it being any different.
Hopefully it's a little better because right now it's pathetic. I must say, you know, I think that four-game sweep of the Yankees was the highlight of the season, would be, for because – and then I looked at the schedule, and I'm thinking, wow, they've got six games against the Marlins. Hey, they could really right this ship.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got swept twice.
Yeah, we all thought that. We were all like, I mean, I don't think anyone really thought we're now going to be contenders, but it was like, hey, maybe we can get to 500. Maybe. But then, yeah, they just came back down to earth. They just played way over their heads against the Yankees, and they played like themselves against the Marlins.
Well, the thing is, the Yankees don't hit, neither do the Mets, but the Mets kind of came through a couple times.
Yeah, yeah. And the Yankees have, you know, they just got Teixeira back, so they'll start hitting soon.
Well, they hope they do.
Did you watch the 20-inning game? Were you able to see it?
I saw some of it from about the 13th inning on.
Yeah, I saw the whole thing, all 6.5 hours. It ruined my whole day. I had planned for the rest of the day, and I ended up sitting home all day. but, yeah, that was it was the longest game I've ever seen and possibly one of the worst games I've ever seen. Because the Mets had runners on first and second, I think like 10 out of the last 12 innings, some stat like that. And they just couldn't drive anybody home. It was insane. It's like, okay, this time they'll get a hit with runners in scoring position. Never did. 0 for 19. It was unbelievable how bad it was.
That was awful.
Yeah, but hey, you know what? Got to hand it to Sean Markham. I've been tough on him this year because I don't think he's any good at all. But he came out, pitched 8 innings, let up that one run in the 20th inning. But he came through for the team in a huge way.
Yeah, he did all right, didn't he? 7 straight innings, scoreless ball.
Yeah.
Shutout baseball from Sean Markham. Now, what happens when he takes the hill the next time?
His arm will fall off.
He'll get lit up again.
Yeah. He's still 0-6 for the season, so
he's pitching like a superstar. I'm ready to erect a statue for Sean Markham. That's another one of these boneheaded Sandy Alderson signings. Okay, the guy pitched good before, but he's, you know, these guys have retread arms. They have pieces of cows in their arms.
Yeah. Oh, he's 0-7, by the way. There's a reason that the Brewers, you know, he pitched for the Brewers last year and he pitched reasonably well. I read somewhere that the Brewers wanted nothing to do with him because of his injury history. And then, of course, he, you know, started the season on the DL for the Mets for the first month. So, you know, when your old team doesn't even consider signing you, you know something's wrong. And, I mean, the guy, he's Chris Young. He throws 81 miles an hour if he's lucky, or he throws like 85. But another one of these soft-tossing guys, why do you need these guys?
Because that's all they can get. They don't want to spend any money.
Well, that's true. And Alderson, I don't think, has any player evaluation skills.
That's possible.
I mean, look at the, like they were talking about this on the game tonight, how he keeps redoing the bullpen and he changes strategies every time. First, it's like, let's get veterans. That doesn't work. Let's get high-priced veterans. That doesn't work. Let's get retreads. Let's get young guys. Nothing is working. And Alderson is the common denominator here. He's the one making decisions on these guys. So it's him. I mean, he has a problem judging talent. The evidence has shown, I think. No, he thought Colin Cowgill was the answer. He thought Andrew Brown might be the answer. These guys are useless. So, I don't. Or, you know, maybe it's not Alderson. Maybe it's the Mets scouts, and Alderson is just taking their word. I don't know. You know, we don't know the inner workings of the Mets, but something's wrong in that organization.
Something's been wrong in that organization since 1977. How do you trade Tom Seaver? I keep saying this.
You do. That's a good question.
I have to be consistent.
They got Dan Norman for him, so that's good.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're making me feel even better today. Good Lord. These guys are just a bunch of bums. You know, how do you lose to the worst team in baseball? Craig Carton on WFAN on Monday said, if you lose 6 games to the Marlins, you're the worst team in baseball.
Yes. I mean, and now they've lost 8 games, I think, to the Marlins this season.
They suck. How can you lose to the Marlins?
Yeah, they're
a double-A team. They're not even a triple-A team.
Yeah, they're awful.
What does that say about the Mets?
And Stanton was out for the 5 games that they just lost. So they were missing their only good player, and they lost. And the Mets lost. It says the Mets are awful. It's that simple. They're a terrible team.
And they're not getting any better.
No, and I hate saying that because, I mean, we're the same. We love the Mets. And to have to talk about the team like this is heartbreaking. That might be a little dramatic, but you know what I mean. You know, it's tough. We want to root for this team. We want to be positive about this team, but they've not given us anything to be positive about.
Yeah, we get killed, man, by people every week. You guys are just so grumpy. Well, watch this crap every day.
But we don't want to be grumpy. You know, we want to be positive. We want this team to win. But look, you know, look at what they're giving us. You have to be grumpy. Yeah. If you're optimistic about this team, then you're just a fool. There's nothing to be optimistic about, short of, you know, Matt Harvey.
Yep. And now, what's up with him? He's got a problem with his back.
Apparently, he's going to be okay. He had a little tightness and the team trainer kind of popped something back into place. Apparently, he's had this issue on and off throughout his life. So hopefully, it's not going to be anything. But then again, the Mets, we hate to be grumpy, but the Mets with their injury history, oh, yeah, it's just a little sprain. Oh, wait, he's out for the season. You know, how many times does that happen?
Yeah, too many times. Ike Davis, 2 seasons ago.
Yep. That's why when they put Travis d'Arnaud in that boot, I was like, uh-oh, that's the Ike Davis boot.
Yep, the kiss of death. Or in this case, the kiss of one leg is not as good as the other. It's the Mets physicians. The New York Jets are the same way. What is it? And the Knicks, too. What is it with New York physicians, these franchise physicians, team trainers? These guys are all rubbish.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, really. Yeah. These guys are all rubbish. But, yeah, you're right. If you're optimistic about the New York Mets, so I want whatever you're smoking because I don't feel optimistic about many things these days, but mostly the Mets because they suck. Yeah. You watch them play and they just suck. I mean, what is it? Isn't this has to be? I was thinking about this the other day, and I said this has got to be the worst Mets team I've seen in a long, long time.
Yeah, I agree. And the amazing thing is, when Alderson took over, he took over a bad team, and he somehow has made them worse. How is that even possible? I don't understand it. Like, they were so bad, and I know they had the money issues with the Madoff, and they couldn't, you know, they really were stuck with the players they had. But still, you think they would have made strides somewhere, and they didn't. And people, the Sandy Olson honeymoon is ending. I mean, people are starting to be critical of him, which is good. But he still has his supporters because they're like, oh, he got Zach Wheeler and Travis d'Arnaud. Okay, first of all, we haven't seen these players yet. Second of all, acquiring two players in 3 years does not make you a good general manager. So, yeah, I don't know how. I don't understand how they've gotten so bad.
Because they didn't do anything with the team. They didn't try to build the team. And you said it earlier, the farm system is a joke. I mean, they have nothing there. And people are saying, well, trade. Okay, trade who? Again, let's trade David Wright. Watch them all kill me again like they did when I said Ike Davis should go. And you know what? I was right. They should have got rid of him. Ship these guys out. I would trade, if it were me, I would just clean freaking house. I would keep Matt Harvey, and that's it. And the rest of them, all of them would go.
Yeah, I would still keep Wright. But, yeah, I agree. There's no one else I would care if they traded.
Because people say, well, David Wright, no one will come to the ballpark. Well, no one's coming anyway.
Yeah.
This is bad. This is like the Miami Marlins.
Yeah. One thing they were talking about on the broadcast tonight, which I agree with, is, you know, the past couple of years they were drafting high school players because they felt like they didn't really need the help at the major league level. They figured, let's start building the minor leagues. And, you know, we were going to be good in a couple of years. So this year, Alderson or Di Podesta or one of those guys actually said, we're probably going to go for college kids this year because we're closer to getting better and we need help right away. So what do? They go and draft a high school kid in the first round. So I just don't understand their philosophy there. I don't understand the thing. And who's not to say Dominic Smith?
I think that's his name, yeah.
Which is not to say he's not going to be a good player. Apparently he's the best high school hitter out there. I don't want to criticize him, but if you think you're going to be, you know, you think you're going to contend in 2014 or 2015, you go for a college kid who maybe could come up in 2 years and maybe even next year. So to continue to go for high school kids, I just don't, especially after saying that they were going to go for college kids, I don't get what they're doing.
Yeah, me either. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break. And when we return, we're going to talk more about Sandy Alderson, Terry Collins, and a whole bunch more. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show, and we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen,
tonight we come together.
Cool.
And I think it's cool.
Somebody's going to be having fun tonight.
All I want to do is go have a good time. It's all about
tonight. Phil Nason.
Some of the things that these people say.
Jimmy Z.
That is such twisted logic.
Alex Jones.
You heard it here first. Now it's mainstream news.
Weeknights starting at 10 Eastern.
Okay, well, let's go party, baby. Yeah, tomorrow can
wait till tomorrow. Ah, it's a lot of fun. I said tomorrow can wait till tomorrow. It's all about tonight. And we'll have fun, I promise. Yeah, it's all
about tonight. Weeknights on the Talk Superstation. It's all about tonight.
If you're moving to the Atlanta area or simply looking to buy that new dream home, we'll look no further than to real estate agent Latrissa Friesen. Latrissa has over 10 years in real estate experience, and she's anxious to put you in your brand new home. For more information, you can contact Latrissa at latrissa.com. That's LETRISSA.com.
Stitcher Smart Radio is an award-winning, free mobile application that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. Now you don't even need a Wi-Fi or a cell connection to listen to shows like The Phil Nason Show. Never miss another show. It's real simple. Just go to Stitcher.com and download the free app today. And never miss another Phil Nason Show.
Are you tired of boring sports websites that spout the same old company line? If you are, then I'd invite you to stop over to thesportsgoons.com. Their edgy commentary and a weekly podcast highlighting today's issues is second to none. That's thesportsgoons.com. The new media has arrived.
This Week in Tennis is a weekly tennis program covering all aspects of professional tennis. The most controversial tennis show anywhere deals with issues no one seems to want to touch. For music and hard-hitting commentary, please visit philnasons.com.
Looking for the latest information on your favorite sports team? Why not check out 15-year-old founder Trevor Urenz, prosportsextra.com. Updated daily by a staff of over 30 writers, prosportsextra.com is the place to be. You can check them out, and I insist that you do, at prosportsextra.com. Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nasons Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
Welcome back to the Phil Nasons Show. It is Wednesday afternoon, June the 12th, 2013, and we're happy to have you here. We're talking Mets baseball, and one of the things that I found very interesting this week was Sandy Alderson claiming that Lucas Duda and Ruben Tejada were not part of the core, but Ike Davis is. What in the world is it? I don't get this guy.
Yeah, he's... I don't understand him either. I've been saying it for years. But yeah, Alderson was on WFAN. He spoke for 35 minutes. And as he usually does, he used a lot of words and, you know, circular logic and things and never didn't say much. But this time, though, he actually said a little bit more than he usually does. Yeah, he was asked about the core players. And he said Ike Davis, he still considers part of the core. And then this was funny. Francesa asked him about Duda. And there was a really long pause. It was uncomfortable. I don't know if you heard it. And he just says, never thought of him that way. Haven't thought of him that way yet. Which was kind of surprising because I thought Alderson loved Duda because he likes the power. He likes the ability to walk. And to say that, I was really, really surprised. The Tejada thing didn't surprise me because even though, you know, last year he looked like he might be a good player, he's still a light hitting shortstop and you can, they're a dime a dozen. But yeah, I was very surprised about Duda. I was actually happy that he said that about Duda because, as you know, I'm not a big fan of his. But yeah, it's surprising.
I think Duda needs to learn how to wear his hat.
Why? Does he not wear his hat?
Right? He just wears it like a goofball. Looks like a freaking one of these European guys who put on a hat and think they're clever. Oh, yeah. Oh, Maron, I could go on and on about that. I got a couple other things to say, but I'll save it for another day. Because that has nothing to do with the New York Mets. But anyway, Duda's not part of the core, and Tejada's not part of the core. Ike Davis is because we already saw what he can do. Well, we saw what Tejada could do last year too, but something happened to him too. But Lucas Duda? What in the world is he doing on the roster then? If he's not going to be part of the future, get him the hell out.
Yeah, that's why it was so surprising. I give Alderson credit for being honest in that one situation, because he's usually not honest. But it was very surprising. I was kind of shocked by that.
I don't get it, man. And Sandy Alderson, I don't understand him, because he's just. I'm so fed up with him. It's good that people are taking him to task finally, because we've been doing it for a long, long time here. Mm-hmm. And on your blog, you've been doing it too. But I don't understand him. If he's that bad at what he does, I mean, okay, he did a good job in San Diego, apparently, and he's worked with the Oakland A's for a while. But if this is Moneyball, you better ask for a refund.
Yeah. You know what? When he was in Oakland, he had Billy Beane as his GM. And was he the GM in San Diego, or was he like a team president or something?
I think he was the team president / GM for a while there, I think.
Okay. We'll have to look into that. But I think maybe he's a good baseball – maybe he's good at running a team, but he's not good at making baseball decisions. So maybe he shouldn't be a general manager. Maybe he should be a team president or something like that. But I think we've seen, as we just said, his player evaluation skills leave much to be desired.
Yeah, they stink.
Yeah. Yeah.
They really do. I mean, honestly, when was the worst team that you can remember? I would say this is comparable to the teams of the late 70s.
Yeah. I mean, those teams were awful. It's very similar. I mean, at least the Mets have David Wright now. But in the 70s, there was no one. I mean, Lee Mazzilli was there in the 70s, and everybody loved him, but he just wasn't. He wasn't a great player like Wright is.
Right.
Those teams were awful. Even those the teams in the 90s, the early 90s, were pretty bad.
Yeah, they were awful. But
they had Eddie Murray and Vince Coleman and those guys.
Yeah, see, that's the other thing, man. They throw money at these guys who are all finished already.
Yeah.
Washed up bums. And oh, Lord, I can really go off right now, too.
Well, one thing I was going to say about Wheeler, about Alderson's interview on FAN, he was asked about Zach Wheeler and when we might see him play. So this is what Alderson said. This is a quote. "There's been a lot of speculation that he'll start one of the games of the doubleheader on June 18th. Unlike most speculation, this probably has some accuracy." Why not just say, yeah, we have him penciled in for Tuesday? What? This is what I hate about Alderson. Just say it. But does he not want to commit to, you know, Wheeler pitching that day? But he's got to talk this way and – with, you know, committing and not committing, this is why I really don't like him.
I don't think he even knows.
Like that. But I think he does know, but he just doesn't want to say for some reason. Like, he doesn't want to be pinned down. He doesn't want to say anything definite so he can weasel out of it later.
That makes sense, I guess. But these guys are something, man. This whole – Zach Wheeler, apparently the 18th, that's what they say. Oh, we'll see. He will put him right into the fire.
You know what I think is weird, though? They said that he'll likely start the nightcap of a doubleheader. And I thought that was very strange, only because pitchers are creatures of habit. And when you're pitching the nightcap, you don't know exactly what time you're going to start. So your preparation gets thrown off. And for a guy making his major league debut, you think they'd want him to know, okay, 7 o'clock, you're starting. Wait, unless is this like a split doubleheader, or is this?
This is a day-night doubleheader, I think.
Okay, then I take that back. If it's a day-night, then fine. But if it's just a straight doubleheader, then they wouldn't know when the second game's going to start. But day-night, then they know. Okay.
No, they try to avoid these things.
Right, because they want the two.
Two separate tickets.
Two ticket sales, yeah.
Yeah, they might as well.
I apologize for that then.
Don't, it's okay, because you know what? Maybe you're right. I don't know. But here's the thing. Is maybe they ought to just let them all come to both games. These guys are a bunch of bums. You can't – who's going to come and watch them play?
Well, they're playing in Atlanta.
Yeah, but I mean
– But you know what? They don't draw well either.
Nobody seems to. in the East. Wonder why? Because they played against the Mets, for God's sakes. And the Marlins. You got the Mets and the Marlins in the East. Those guys are stiff one and stiff two.
Yeah.
You're looking at double-A baseball, and you're paying major league ticket prices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw somewhere someone wrote that we should support these guys and go to the ballpark. I guess Seven Line or something, they had this out against Chicago, and lots of people went. There's a reason for this. Because Seven Line makes money, first of all, and God bless them. I'm not holding anything against that. But who wouldn't want a three-day trip to Chicago and get away for 3 days? Now, do it at Citi Field, and then you might have something. It ain't going to happen. Who's going to go and watch those bums?
You're right, especially at these prices. What they should do is lower the prices and say, you know what, our ticket price, we're cutting our ticket price in half because we know our product isn't what it should be. People might go to games. That's why I've been saying this for the longest time, and Gary Cohn said it tonight, how the Mets are kind of rebuilding, but they haven't told the fans they're rebuilding because I think they're afraid nobody would come. But I think if they told the fans, listen, we're rebuilding. We're not going to win. Please, you know, bear with us. I think the fans would understand and support the team. But if you don't admit to rebuilding, which makes us think that you think you're going to win and they're not going to win, the fans get really angry. So it's just, that's just more of all this is just dishonesty.
Well, don't you think the fans are smart enough to figure it out already on their own?
Yes. Oh, yeah. But the thing is, we can figure it out. But if the team still denies it, I just think that, you know, it just they're not being on the level with us. And I think fans resent that. I think that's part of the reason people aren't going to the games.
Yeah. Being on the level is important, man.
Yeah. And Alderson has never, ever been on the level since they hired him. And maybe he's taking cues from ownership. Maybe ownership says, don't say this, don't say that. That's possible. But all I know is, you know, he continues to lie and speak mistruths and not commit to things and use this logic that makes no sense. So here's the other thing. Did you read about – he was talking about the payroll today?
Yeah, I did see something about that.
Okay. Basically, he said the payroll is going to be $90 to $100 million, which is what it is this year. Now, he lies about the payroll all the time, so take that with a grain of salt. But I'm going to say he's not lying this time. It will be $90 to $100 million. So instead of just saying, yeah, our payroll is going to be the same as it was last year, as same as it was this year, he says because the Mets are paying like $44 million for Bay and Santana, the what's on the field now is only like $45 million. So Alderson said, quote, that is doubling, unquote, of the payroll. So in Alderson's mind, he's doubling the Mets payroll, even though he's not. And it's twisted logic like that that gets Mets fans angry. It's like, don't tell us you're doubling the payroll. You're not doubling the payroll. It's the same as it was. Why are you lying to us?
Oh, who knows? He's something else, though. I got to tell you, I don't trust Mets management anyway. Haven't for a long time. Since 1977 when they traded Tom Seaver.
Well, yeah, I'm not familiar with that deal. What happened?
That was a day I cried for 2 days.
Oh.
Almost did the same thing again today just thinking about it. He's dishonest.
They traded Dave Kingman that night also.
What's that?
They traded Dave Kingman that night also.
That's right. They did, didn't they?
I was upset by that.
You were.
Because he was the other guy to root for, and then he was gone also.
Yeah, that's true. He was pretty cool. But Tom Terrific was better. But oh, yeah. But seriously, though, I don't understand where this payroll bit is because it makes no sense, man. You're going to spend money where? I'm dying to see where he's going to spend $40 million next year.
Yeah.
Really, I'm dying to see this.
Yeah, he says they have $35 to $45 million to spend, which I think it'll be closer to $35 if it's that much. And they're going to need two or three outfielders, at least one infielder, a new bullpen again, and they'll probably end up signing like a veteran starter, I would think. And you're not going to get players of quality, you know, that many players of quality for $35 million. It's not going to happen.
But do we have that awesome farm system?
Well, yeah, because, you know, guys like, Robert Carson, he's coming out of the farm system. Juan Lagares, although Juan Lagares has some potential.
He does have some potential.
But, yeah, it's brutal. It's – hate to be grumpy, but
Well, go ahead. Be as grumpy as you want. I'm grumpy right now, too, for many reasons besides the Mets, but still at all. Okay. No, it's okay. But seriously, though, it doesn't make sense. Most of this stuff doesn't make sense. And then Terry Collins. I mean, have you heard him lately in post-game interviews? He is just almost pathetic. I feel sorry for Terry Collins. They say his job is safe. That usually means sayonara, baby. You're out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. He won't be fired during the season, but yeah, he's gone after the season. Because again, Alderson, at this point, someone's got to pay. And Alderson's not going to fire himself. He's not going to fire his brain trust. So yeah, he'll make Collins a fall guy. But you know what? The fans know better. The fans know that if Collins gets fired, it's not his fault, that he was dealt a poor hand and played it as best he could.
Yeah, that's just terrible for Terry Collins. What a bummer.
Yeah, unless they give him one more year because they know they're not going to contend next year either.
And let Wally back. This is the other thing. People are screaming for Wally back, man. I don't care who you bring in there. No one's going to win with this bunch of bums.
Yeah, unless they bring him back next year and, like, it's another lost year. He can get his, you know, he can make the rookie mistakes next year. So then when they can allegedly contend in 2015, he'll be ready. But I don't know.
I don't see Wally Backman ever managing the Mets.
You don't think so?
No. If they were going to do that, they already would have, I think.
That's true. They would have given him the job over Collins.
Sure.
Unless they were just grooming him. Unless they, you know, Alderson said, you know what, we're not going to win for 3 years. Let's bring in a Collins. Let him ride it out. Let's not mess up Backman's deal. I don't know, but yeah, I don't disagree with you that if they wanted to, they would have done it. But who's next? Who are they going to get? Tony Russo's not coming out of retirement. Joe Torre's not coming out of retirement.
Who's going to want to manage this bunch of bums?
Yeah,
I don't see it getting any better though. Honestly, I see it going to get way worse before it gets even close to better.
Yeah, unless I can see the Angels firing Mike Scioscia.
That's possible.
Although if they do and Mattingly is fired, the Dodgers would hire Scioscia in a second, I would think.
Maybe, but you know what? I'll tell you what. Don Mattingly would be an intriguing choice.
I don't want a Yankee. It was bad enough we had Willie Randolph as our manager.
Yeah, that's true, but I like Willie, though.
Yeah. That reminded me, remember when the Rangers hired Brian Trottier?
Yeah, I do.
And he lasted like 30 games or something. That was ridiculous. I mean, first of all, he had no experience at all as a coach. And then to bring in someone from the Islanders, like the most hated rival, was just a poor idea from the beginning. And I think the Ranger-Islander rivalry is bigger than the Met-Yankee only because they actually play each other in games that count where the Mets and Yankees kind of don't.
Yeah.
But still, I didn't like the idea of Randolph because he's a Yankee. And okay. I don't like the idea of Mattingly either because he's a Yankee.
Hey, I got one for you. He's a former Met, Robin Ventura, because he's going to be out of Chicago after this year. He'd be available.
Could be. They were talking about him and his real desires to be a manager. Like, people are questioning his commitment to being a manager. I don't know a lot about it. I just kind of read a little casual thing, but I'm not sure that that's what he wants to do from what I've read.
Who knows? But if you're Robin Ventura and you're managing the White Sox, he's probably can't wait to get away from Adam Dunn.
Yeah, man, he fell off the earth.
Yeah, but then he's 36. But I mean, he really sucked this year. He has so far. I mean,
yeah.
But I don't understand any of this New York Mets shenanigans. And then what else? I mean, when you look at Terry Collins, okay, what about this? You know, again, that 20-inning Miami game. Why didn't he try to bunt and move somebody over?
Well,
because they can't bunt because these guys all suck.
I'm not a fan of bunting, so I don't have an issue with that. But they did do a couple of sacrifices. Baxter failed to get a sacrifice down, which is why I think he was sent away. But they did bunt a couple of times. So I don't know if that really was an issue. Again, I don't like bunting, so I was against it. But But yeah, like I said before, there are several strategic things recently that Collins has done, which have been really questionable.
Yeah, but then again, he's managing these bums, and they can't. I mean, what would you do if you were sitting there in the dugout every night? You'd have a bottle of Jack Daniels in the back in your bag.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, he, you know, was thrown into this losing position, the situation, and they're living up to it. I mean, unfortunately, they're losing like they're supposed to lose, and Collins is eventually going to pay the price, and it's really not fair.
It's not fair at all. But they are awful. There's no question about it. Now, the All-Star game, the vote is coming up. Maybe next week we'll do an All-Star thing and try to pump it up. But Pablo Sandoval probably is going to be injured and out. So David Wright has a clear shot.
Yeah, he'll get the second place prize. The fact that Sandoval is still leading him and extended his lead over the first week. The Mets fan, it's all about the fans. I mean, and it's understandable if the fans are just apathetic about this team, where apparently the Giants apparently have like the best social media department of any team. So they're really good about that stuff. But will he be injured? I mean, I know they put him on the DL, but is it something that's going to keep him out for a month?
I'm not sure. I just heard that on WFAN, so I'm not sure. But. Okay. But needless to say, this is something that we have to promote. David, here's the thing. You have 8 million potential votes every day in New York City alone. For God's sakes, get David Wright in the All-Star game. It's at Citi Field. Come on, folks. Let's get on the bandwagon and let's get David Wright voted in. We can all do it. Here, we won't even have to leave the comforts of our own homes or use your iPhones. You can ride it, vote in the train. Go to MLB.com and vote. You get 25 total votes, 25 ballots you get. This is better than a Chicago City election. I mean, and it's legal, for God's sake.
And it's 25 per day. You can go back every day and do it. And
that's right.
If you sign up, if you like log into MLB.com, you get 35 votes.
That's right. And then you get to do it. And then here's the thing. You can change your email. Many of you out there have multiple emails for whatever reason, and you can go ahead and just stuff the freaking ballots. Let's raise the dead here. I'm telling you, we got to get this kid in. You know who else we need to get in? Well, we can't vote for Mike or Matt Harvey, but what do you think the chances are that he might wind up starting? Probably not that good. He'll make the team maybe, but
yeah, he'll definitely make the team. He could start. I mean, unfortunately, he's 5-0, but because he's had like 87 no decisions. But you get, you know, a guy like Clayton Kershaw who certainly would deserve it. Jordan Zimmermann has 9 wins and his ERA is 2. So I think if Harvey is even close to those guys, if he can get a few more wins, then I think they'll give it to Harvey just because it'll just make for a better story. And plus, after Dickey got screwed last year, it might be nice to pay back the Mets a little bit. It'd be really nice if he started.
Speaking of Dickey, he's just a bust.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I mean, I haven't really watched him, so I don't know like what's going on. But yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I never expected him to be, you know, to keep up his Cy Young, you know, caliber pitching. But to be 5-8 with a 5.11 ERA, and plus the strikeouts are way down. He was averaging like a strikeout an inning last year. He's at 64 strikeouts in 88 innings. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the American League is definitely going to raise your ERA just being in the American League. But it's shocking how poor he's doing compared to last year.
He's just getting killed. They're not scoring runs for him. And don't forget, too, it's the American League, and they have a DH.
Right. Right. Yeah. Like I said before, your ERA will go up. That's a fact. But he's got a 5.11 ERA. That's insane.
Well, that's the real Dickey.
Yeah. And that's what I was saying all along, all off season. It was like, you know, it'd be nice to resign him. It's a nice story, but he's 38 years old. 38? Yeah.
Yeah.
So 38 years old. So, you know, they talk about the rubber arm of the knuckler, but Who's to say he's going to do that? And he's not.
Nope.
It's kind of sad because it was a really good story.
Still is a good story. I mean, but well, that's a good move, Sandy Alderson.
Yeah, I had no problem with it. I wish Darno would have started the season with the Mets like he should have. Because, again, another Alderson lie. He's like, if I trade Dickey, I'm going to get someone who can make an impact right away. And then the guy was incredible during spring training. He's like, yeah, we're going to put him in the minors. It made no sense at all. And then he got injured, and that was the whole season's ruined.
Yeah, pretty much, because you won't see him in a Mets uniform this season.
He might come up in September.
Maybe, if he's healthy. Well, this is the New York Mets and their crack physician staff, crack medical staff. Anyway, Mark, great stuff tonight. Thanks for being a part of it.
Hey, no problem.
All right, you can find Mark Berman over at bloggingmets.com. And that's going to wrap it up for today's Phil Nason Show. Want to thank Mark Berman for being here. We talked a lot about Mets. We're going to continue to do so throughout the season. Tomorrow night, J.R. Wilco from PoundingTheRock.com and I will be breaking down the San Antonio Spurs Miami Heat series. What happened in the past and what we think is going to happen in the future. And on Friday, the guys will be here for baseball. Until then, y'all take care of yourselves. Be good. And most importantly, thanks for listening. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.